I heard a story about a man who went to Israel on vacation with his wife and his very difficult to deal with, ever-nagging mother-in-law. Well, sadly, his mother-in-law died while they were in the Holy Land. And they were trying to figure out what to do with her body. And so this man went to a local mortuary and was asking about shipping her body back to the United States. And the undertaker said, "Well, sir, that will cost you $5,000. But I'll tell you what, we can bury your mother-in-law here in the Holy Land for $150. The man thought about it for a while and said, "No, I'm going to ship her back to the United States." The undertaker said, "Sir, I don't understand. This is the Holy Land. Why would you not want to bury her here? And plus, it's such a good deal." And the man said, "Well, sir, a long time ago, a man was buried here, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I can't take that chance." Apologies to all of you mothers-in-law out there. You're all wonderful. But you know, we joke about things like that. And I think it's because many people are very uncomfortable with the topic of death. We try to not discuss it. You know, an insurance agent who's selling you life insurance will say something like, "Well, if you happen to die." If? Why do you think I'm buying this policy? It's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of when. Or we won't even use the D word. We'll come up with other terms. We'll say, "Well, someone has passed on," or "they're no longer with us," or we might use the medical terminology, "they expired." Or we might mask our discomfort with a topic by saying things like, "Well, they bit the dust," or "they cashed in their chips," or "they kicked the bucket." And that's because there's a big discomfort in our culture today to talk about the reality of death. But I want you to know, in ancient times, it wasn't that way. They thought about it a lot, maybe because the death rate was higher at that time. People would die at a younger age. I don't know if the death rate was higher. I think the death rate is the same in every generation. One out of every one persons will die, right? So, but they didn't have the luxury of a long life like we might have today. So ancient merchants often wrote the words "memento mori" over their accounting books in large letters. "Memento mori." And those words meant "think of death." And what it meant was, keep things in perspective. You're not going to live forever. But that's not the way it is in our culture. And someone raises the topic and we'll say, "I don't want to talk about that." What if this were your last night on planet Earth? Are you confident that you would go to heaven? You say, "Well, I'm a good person, so I think so." I'll address that in a few moments. But listen, only those who are prepared to die are really ready to live. The Bible says, prepare to meet your God. And I want to talk to you tonight about how to be prepared. I'm not trying to be sensationalistic. I'm not trying to freak you out. I'm just dealing with the reality. Because someone's name is going to be in that obituary column tomorrow. You say, "Well, it won't be me." How would you know that? A lady posted on my Facebook page recently and told me the story of her young son, Jonathan. They had our Harvest America event in the Bay Area where she lives in her church. And when I gave that invitation here at Angel Stadium, it was being given in her church as well. And her boy, Jonathan, walked forward and recommitted his life to Christ. And the next day he told his mom he had a headache and it got worse and he went to the doctor. And by the following Wednesday, Jonathan had died and left this life for the next one. But he had made that commitment to Christ. So you see, you may be old, you may be young, you never know when that moment is going to come. This is serious stuff. There's a new movie out about Steve Jobs. There's another one in production. It reminded me of a statement that Steve Jobs made in a commencement speech at Stanford University some years ago. And to the graduating students, Steve Jobs said, quote, "No one wants to die. Even people who want to go to heaven don't want to die to get there. And yet death is the destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it," end quote. Not even Steve Jobs. If anyone could have created an app to escape death, Steve would have come up with it. But even Steve, as brilliant as he was, couldn't do that. Bradley Cooper is a well-known movie star, star of the Hangover movies, nominated for an Oscar for his portrayal in Silver Linings Playbook. Bradley Cooper was also voted the sexiest man alive by People magazine. They offered it to me. I said, I can't. I'm a preacher. It'd be weird. Oh, no, I dreamt that. That's not true. Right. But he won that title. But even movie stars think about their own mortality. Bradley Cooper's father died 2 years ago, and in an interview with USA Today, Cooper said his father's death caused him to address his own mortality. And he said in this interview, and I quote, "Oh, right, I'm going to die too," he says. "It's not in a book, it's not in a movie, it's not in a story that was told to me, it's not driving by an accident or watching it on TV, it's someone you love dying in front of you. I was like, okay, this is death, and this is gonna happen to me one day," end quote. That's right, memento mori. Think of death. It will come to every person. That's why we wanna get ready. And as we get older, we need to really be ready. Seems to me the older I get, the faster time goes. I read an interesting thing about what time it is in your life, sort of like on a clock. If your age is 15, it's 10:25 in the morning in your life. If you're 20, it's 11:34 in the morning. If you're 25, it's 12:42. If you're 30, the time of your life is 1:51 p.m. If you're 35, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. If you're 40, it's 4:08 in the afternoon. If you're 45, it's 5:15 in the evening. And if you're 50, it's 6:25. 55, 7:34. If you're 60, the time is 8:40 p.m. If you're 65, it's 9:55 p.m. If you're 70, it's 11 o'clock at night. I don't know where that puts you, but I'm around 8:42 in the evening. And the drag is, I go to bed at 10. Okay, so wait. What time is it in your life right now? When I heard the news that our son had died, I felt like I could literally die.
I can say that I've been in a place where I feel hopeless.
I read about the blind man seeing and the deaf hearing.
I felt as if someone had taken a big eraser to the chalkboard of my dreams and just erased everything.
I think instead of asking the question, why? I believe. We should be asking the question, to whom shall I turn? You need to turn to God. He is the hope you're looking for.
Hope for Hurting Hearts is our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to the Ministry of Harvest this month. Call 1-800-821-3300 or visit greglaurie.tv to receive your copy today. And thanks for standing with us in the harvest. Welcome back. Here again is Greg Laurie.
What happens after death? According to the Bible, the only reliable book on the afterlife, when we die, we enter eternity. And the Bible teaches there are actually two deaths. One is the physical death, the other is spiritual death. Jesus warned we're to fear the second death more than the first death. He said, death and Hades are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Here's the good news. If you're born once, you'll die twice. But if you're born twice, you'll die once. Let me explain that. Some of you get that. Some of you don't. If you're born once, you'll die twice. Meaning you're born physically, you're going to die physically, and then you're going to have that second death. You'll die spiritually, separated from God. But if you're born twice, physically, and then you're born again by believing in Jesus, you'll only die once, only physically, because then you'll go to heaven. That is why Jesus said you must be born again. You know, medical science seeks to add years to your life, but only Christ can add life to your years and give you a life that is worth living. A life that is full and meaningful, and you don't need drugs, you don't need alcohol. And then you have the hope of life beyond the grave as well. This is the hope of the Christian. And when we die, we go to heaven. What is heaven? Heaven is where God dwells. The Bible describes heaven as a paradise, a city, a country. Heaven is a real place. for real people that believe in a real God. Jesus said, I have gone to prepare a place for you. And really, heaven for the believer is home. I have a granddaughter. I have four granddaughters and one grandson. One of my granddaughters is named Allie. She's 2 years old. And she'll come over to our house and play, and we have lots of toys because we love the grandkids to come and play. So she'll be playing with the toys, and it's a funny thing. She'll just stop right in the middle of playing and just open the door and walk out. We'll go, Allie, where are you going? She says, home. She just, home. Have you ever felt that way? Almost not home where you're at? There has to be something more. Maybe you've reached a lot of goals that you set in life. And you're saying, man, there's got to be more than this. There is. Deep down inside, you're longing for a place you've never been to before. Deep down inside, you're longing for heaven. Like the little boy who was flying his kite, and the kite was out of sight. Someone asked him where his kite was. The little guy pointed up to the sky. He said, but son, you can't see your kite, can you? He said, no, but I can feel its tug. And you can feel the tug of heaven deep down inside. This is where you're meant to go someday. And when we get to heaven, we'll not only see the Lord there, we'll see our loved ones that have died and gone on before us who also believed in Jesus Christ. Heaven will be a time of great reunion, and we'll pick up where we last left off. Isn't that great? You know, I have friends going back to my high school days, and I'll run into them every now and then. And maybe I haven't seen them for 4 years. We'll pick up where we last left off. Hey, remember that time? Because they're one of those friends you've had forever. And when we get to heaven, well, we'll see those loved ones we've missed and longed for, and we'll just pick right up again. You know, when my son Christopher was a little boy, I would carry him around on my shoulders. And he was a curious little guy. He'd point at things. He'd point at a bird and he'd say, sat. That meant, what's that? But he couldn't say, what's that? He just said, sat. I'd said, well, Topher, that was his nickname, Topher. I'd say, that's a bird. Sat. Well, that's a car. Sat. That's another bird. Sat. Well, that's a tree. Always the little sat. It's very cute. One day when I get to heaven, he's been there for a while now, 5 years. I'll be blown away. I'll be looking around. I'll say, sat. He'll say, Dad, that's a sea of glass over there. Sat, that's a throne of God, Dad. When's dinner? Soon, Dad, be patient. He'll catch me up. This is only the hope of the Christian. Heaven is not the default destination of every person. So what happens after we die? Jesus gives us a behind-the-scenes look at life after the grave. In Luke chapter 16, he tells a story of two men who died on the same day. One man was wealthy. The other man was poor. One man was famous. The other was unknown. One was a believer. The other was a non-believer. Death knocks at every door. It's no respecter of persons. And the man who believed, who was named Lazarus, was carried by the angel straight into the presence of God. I find that to be a very comforting thing to know, that when our loved ones leave this world, that they're carried by the angels into the presence of the Lord. But the other man was separated from God. So we have this hope of reunion one day. I heard the story of a Christian father who was terminally ill. He called his three sons to his bedside. And two of them were believers. And he said to them, goodbye, my sons. I'll see you in the morning. Well, the third son, who was not a Christian, was very concerned because the father turned to him and just said, goodbye, son. And that boy said, Dad, why did you say just goodbye to me? You said to my brothers, I'll see you in the morning. To me, you just said, goodbye, son. Why? He said, son, because you haven't believed in Jesus Christ, and I'll never see you again. The boy said, well, Dad, I want to see you again. The father said, son, you need to believe in Jesus Christ, and if you do, our family will be reunited in eternity. And that boy did believe right on the spot, and you can believe right on the spot tonight. Be reunited with loved ones who have died in the Lord. So that's what happens to a believer. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Let me tell you something else. What could happen even before death is the Lord could come back and call us all to heaven. That's a promise the Bible has for Christians that will be caught up to meet the Lord in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It could happen tonight. That'd be fantastic. But what happens to the non-believer? This is quite scary. Revelation chapter 20 deals with it. Revelation 20, we read, I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Speaking of the non-believers. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in them. Death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written into the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, this is an ominous scene. It's one of the most sobering and serious and tragic passages in all of Scripture. In Dante's poem known as Inferno are the words, quote, abandon hope, all who enter here, that are written above the gates of hell. John sees a great white throne, and now judgments are going to come from it. There's going to be no debate over guilt or innocence. There'll be a prosecutor, but no defender, an accuser, but no advocate. There'll be an indictment, but no defense mounted by the accused. And the judgment is binding through all eternity. There's no appealing the verdict. Well, who will be there? The answer is everyone who has rejected God's offer of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Listen, the most important decision that you will ever make is the decision about Jesus Christ. That is a choice that is before you right now. Listen to this. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. You know, when I heard that as a 17-year-old kid, I looked around at other people at this little meeting I went to, this little Bible study where a preacher said that, and I thought to myself, these other Christians listening to this, they're definitely for him. And then I thought, well, I'm not one of them. Does that mean I'm against them? Well, actually, I was. You can't be neutral about Jesus. This is a yes or no proposition. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. Then he voluntarily went to the cross and died in our place. Why did he do that? Because we're all sinners and we have all fallen short of God's glory and we have all broken God's commandments. But the good news is Christ died for our sins. He absorbed God's wrath. He paid the price for the wrongs we've done, and he rose again from the dead, and he's standing right now at the door of your life, and he is knocking. And he is saying, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he'll come in. And you might be thinking, well, how do you open the door of your heart? You do it through prayer. And I'd like to lead you in a simple prayer where you would be asking God to forgive you, where you would be asking Jesus to come into your life. It's the most important choice you will ever make. And if you would like to choose Jesus Christ right now, if you would like to be forgiven of your sin and go to heaven when you die, why don't you just pray this prayer out loud even after me? Right now, just pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but you died on that cross for me because you love me. And then you rose again from the dead. I'm sorry for my sin. I turn from it now. I ask you to come into my life and be my Savior and Lord and be my God and my friend. I choose to follow you, Lord, from this moment forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Hey, listen, if you just prayed that prayer and meant it in your heart, Christ himself has come to live inside of you. You have made the right choice. Your choices on earth are binding in eternity. And because of that choice, if you now follow Jesus Christ, you can have the hope of one day seeing him in heaven. Thanks for tuning into our program. And until next time, God bless you.